Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We don't have the verse, or have, anyway, so I'm just going to read the sloka. This is Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text Number 24. The title of the chapter is Pure Devotional Service, and this verse is on the theme of this Festival of the Holy Name. It's speaking specifically about the chanting of the Holy Name. Saram sasaram hridayam vedetam gagriyamanay harinamadeya navikriyetata yadavikaro nitrejalam katra roheshu harshaha. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on end. It's a very long purport. It's almost the last verse at the end of chapter 3. I'm not going to read the entire purport, but there's some very wonderful parts I'd like to highlight. Because it's nearing the end of the chapter, Prabhupada inserts a summary of Canto 2, Chapters 1, 2, and 3. This is the end of Chapter 3. And we should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. I'll read. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed. And a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. Hearing and chanting, worshiping the Lord in his universal form, forming a spiritual conception of God, forming a conception of God is there. And a strong emphasis is also placed in detachment. By such a gross conception of God, through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the Super Soul in every heart and everywhere in every atom of the material universe. That's chapter 2. The system of Pancha Upasana, recommending five mental attitudes for the common man, is also enacted for this purpose. And he details that. They're nicely described in the second chapter. But in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. So that's the review. some key words in the verse. Harinama dhyayai. Dhyaya, the indication of dhyaya is the concentration of the mind. Dhyana dharana samadhi. Dhyaya, fixing the mind, concentrating the mind. We spent some time yesterday morning discussing from the Durya Kadambini. This is in part a review for those that weren't there yesterday morning, but also for those that were, just a refresh, because this goes the next stage. From the Durya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the stages of bhakti. That's what Madhurya Kadambini is, from Shraddha to Prema. And when the prior to Nishtha or Anishtata bhakti, Nishtha means where one's faith is steady, and it's on the other side of Anarthas, because the stage before Nishtha is Anartha Nivritti. The stage before Anartha Nivritti is Bhajana Kriya. So that's what we're doing right now, Bhajana Kriya, activities of bhajan, hearing Harikata, hearing, chanting, remembering, Bhajana Kriya. The stage before that is Sadhu Sangha, the stage before that is Adau Shraddha. In the beginning there's a little faith, or preliminary faith. So from faith, transited through Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees, Bhajana Kriya, hearing and chanting, Anartha Nivritti, removal of anarthas, then Nishtha. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says that there are obstacles to achieve Nishtha, and specifically he identifies subtle obstacles, obstacles of the mind in the process of hearing and chanting, just as in the first chapter of the second canto, Prabhupada just reminded us that Shukadeva Goswami has emphasized the process of hearing and chanting. So when one is engaged in hearing and chanting, there's some obstacles, and he identifies five. So this is review, but laya, sleep. One becomes sleepy even when chanting, when speaking. I mentioned I was very amazed watching someone give Srimad Bhagavatam class and falling asleep while giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class. But more common is the audience who's hearing may become drowsy. Or when we're chanting, hearing and chanting, we're chanting japa, we can become drowsy. So maya. Or when remembering, just engaged in Vishnu Smaranam, remembering after the hearing and chanting activity. So sleepiness, maya, the first one. Vikshepa is the second one. When they overcome sleepiness, but there may be distraction. I know that maybe usually there is. Distraction of the mind to other things. And if one can overcome distraction of the mind to other things, then apratipati. The third item is one still may have some indifference or not with a sense of urgency. Tivena bhakti yogena. One may not be very strongly engaged in that activity. Indifferent. Doing, but without real absorption. Then, each of these are successively more subtle. Kasaya. Kasaya means that despite one's hearing and chanting activities on a regular basis, there may appear undesirable outbursts of anger or lust or greed or jealousy or just popping out of the heart despite one's hearing and chanting. So that certainly distracts one's concentration. And rasavada is lingering attraction for experiencing happiness in this world. Wanting some taste from the tasteless. From some forms of material happiness. At least little. And hanging on to that. Which then makes concentration of the mind difficult. It blocks, in fact, concentration of the mind. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when those five obstacles are surpassed, simultaneous one will find that the anarthas within the heart are also surpassed, because that list of anarthas is a different list, but it parallels these distractions or obstacles. And then the stage of nishtha can be reached. That's not, nishtha is not the topmost stage, but it's an essential stage that at least it's within our scope as sadhakas to strive for. Within sadhana bhakti, one can achieve nishtha, the stage where there's steadiness of concentration. So now in the verse, Shukadev Goswami says, or actually it's Maharaj Pariksit says, yad kriyamanayar harinamadeyaha. Even if the stage of chanting has come with its concentration of the mind. Harinama dhyayai. In spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, if one is at the nishtha stage, we have to go further. So overall this seminar is to help us go more deeply. And so we shouldn't just be in la-la land thinking that we just have to chant Hare Krishna and somehow magically it's all going to... There are things that we need to know on the road to Krishna. Chanting needs to be done in a qualitative way, in other words. Chanting in a qualitative way. So... from the previous chapters up till this chapter, one is brought to the stage of Vishnu worship with hearing and chanting as the core fuel or propellant that brings one to the lotus feet of Vishnu. And so there one is, hearing and chanting at the lotus feet of Vishnu. But supposing one is doesn't go beyond that activity, or that is to say, while hearing and chanting, the bhava stage is not reached, then we can understand something about the condition of one's heart. So, Prabhupada then focuses on this word, vikara. Vikara means transformation, transformation of heart, change of heart. So he uses the phrase change of heart about 10 times in the purport. It certainly draws our attention to the importance of what's needed in our process of Krishna consciousness is this. Your devotional service, he puts at the beginning of the chapter, change of heart. Pure devotional service, change of heart. So what we need is transformation of heart. Just to put this in another context, I've mentioned this before, but the modern education process is characterized by, in five words, information. You've heard this before. Information, information, no transformation. Modern education. And Vedic education is transformation of heart. That's the goal. Not just information. When we're reading Bhagavad Gita, it's not just gathering information like you have all done in your academic training. You gather information. You store it on your hard drive. Zen time comes, you press the button, it comes out. So you have a big, nice big hard drive that has word processors and it comes out. And you get an A in your exam. And then you get a pat on the back. You're recognized for being a good student because you can process information very nicely. Transformation of heart, what's that? Character, what's that? Best information. So Vedic process of education, there's information, but what's really important is transformation of heart. That's the purpose of devotional service. It's not changing our behaviors. It is changing behaviors, but it's not just don't do this and do this. Vidhi means those, you know, the niyams and yamas and niyamas, the do's and the don'ts. But it must go beyond that. Things to be done, things not to be done. What's the essence? The nectar devotion question. According to Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion, what is that one principle that's behind all of the do's and the don'ts? What's the objective to be achieved by all the do's and all the don'ts? Yeah. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. It's a verse from Padma Purana. Smartapyak satatam Vishnur. One should always remember Vishnu, Krishna. Na smartapyu na jata chit. One should never forget him. But the injunction is a prohibition. All vidhis are pursuing this one purpose. So Rupa Goswami teaches in Nectar of Instruction. If one follows all the rules and regulations without understanding the purpose behind the rules and regulations, it can be a cause of fall down. As much as neglecting the rules and regulations can be a cause of fall down. So we don't want to fall down. We want to advance on the path of spiritual life. So we should be mindful here, as Prabhupada is reminding us, Shukadeva Goswami is reminding us of the transformation of heart. So, because how are you always going to remember Krishna? It's when there's attachment for Krishna. When you're attached to something, your mind goes to that something. There's some parents here in the audience, and even your children may not be here. Your thoughts are with your children because there's attachment. So, and one of them is plainly visible right over there. So there's attachment. So there's the mind goes where there's attachment. And the material condition is we're forgetful of Krishna. So the rules and the vidhis are to help us become attached to Krishna. And so we don't fail to do things like coming before the deity and bowing before the deity. That's or the rules of the 64 prohibitions starts with entering the temple on palanquin or with one's shoes. It's like just when our acharyas refer to this list, they just mention the Sanskrit for that verse, and it means all the 64 vidhis. So we leave our shoes outside, and we leave our palanquins outside too. Meaning, you know, in a more traditional sense, some very dignified person may be carried to the temple in his palanquin or her palanquin. And then they leave the palanquin outside and go into the before the Lord, not with palanquin, but as a humble servant of the Lord. That's the idea. One leaves one's position, shoes outside, and comes before the Lord in the home. So that should not be neglected. Why? Because you come before the Lord in another state of consciousness, indicated by just, it's like the shoes, shoes go anywhere, then when you're not, it's not proper respect. So, the purpose behind that is respect, so that there's, the heart becomes open so that the mercy that the Lord can offer one is received. That's the idea. Then some attachment and remembrance when there's attachment. So, paragraph. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from sense, from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service, by the limbs of the body, parentheses, namely the eyes, ears, nose, hands, legs, as already explained here and before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind. It just went from gross to subtle, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted, even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and chanting of the holy name of the Lord with concentration. Beyond this, vikshepa, distraction, or maya, sleep, or so forth. Beyond that state, this is very the message of the verse is how to move from nishtha to bhava. So where it's going to go is one must avoid offenses in relation to the chanting of the holy name. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the functional stage of prema, love of Godhead. paragraph. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his talks with Prakashananda Saraswati, is asking about Chaitanya, "You're a sannyasi. And you know what sannyasis are supposed to do. You're supposed to sit in a solitary place and chant Om and read Vedanta Sutra. Why are you neglecting this injunction? And instead, you're doing the prohibition. You're associating with worldly people and carrying on, you know, singing and dancing and, you know, behaviors that are not appropriate for a sannyasi. Why are you doing like this?" Mahaprabhu's response was, "I was instructed by my spiritual master upon initiation that you are just a foolish, ignorant person, not capable of studying and understanding Vedanta Sutra, so don't do that. You should just chant the holy names of the Lord." So I took his instruction to heart. I was chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then something started to happen. Tears were coming to my eyes. My hairs were standing on end. I was rolling on the ground uncontrollably. "Please don't think that when I dance, it's some show. I can't, it just happens." Rolling on the ground and crying and dancing. And so I went to my spiritual master and said, "Am I doing something wrong?" He said, "Oh no, my child, this is very nice." And quoted one verse from the Bhagavatam, which said, when one becomes very advanced in spiritual life, these things happen spontaneously. So continue. "Very nice, I'm very pleased with you." Now Prabhupada's instruction for us is, if you're not feeling ecstasy exhibited by spontaneous dancing, then dance and the ecstasy will come. We experienced that on Sunday night in the temple room. Even some, you know, older folks were like little children. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was laughing like that with seeing Advaita Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya behaving like two children when they were swimming in Narendra Sarovar after a long kirtan. They were in such a happy state and joyful state. And Gopinath Acharya then commented to his brother-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "What has happened to you? You've become... Where's your sobriety? You're the most learned scholar, not only here in all of the world, but the most learned person. You're behaving like a schoolboy." And Gopinath Acharya received the following reply from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, "You said that the day will come that you will receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and your heart will become soft. And because you spoke like that, because you gave your benediction, it has happened. It's by your mercy." And Gopinath Acharya just laughed and said, "It's not by my mercy, it's by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has given you his mercy. And you have thus changed. Your heart has changed by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're so fortunate to be the recipient of his mercy in this way." So, next paragraph. "If this change of heart does not take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, Shiva Goswami quotes this verse and indicates that the cause of the lack of change of heart is due to offenses. For that matter, you can go earlier in the stages of bhakti. That's, you know, the stages where we are. We're not at the nishtha stage either. But in the vajana kriya, moving into anartha nivritti stage, it's our to go more deeply into the holy name. One must very carefully avoid offenses against the holy name. We need to know what those offenses are. We need to avoid those offenses. And it's not just during the 2 hours that you're chanting your 16 rounds, or however long it takes you to chant 16 rounds, whatever number of rounds you're chanting. During that time where you're actually chanting the holy name, there are things to be avoided. There are things to be avoided when you're not literally chanting your prescribed rounds that are also offenses against the holy name. Starting with the first one, to offend or blaspheme sadhu ninda, to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord, or vilify or criticize or make offenses to the devotees, Vaishnava parad, must very carefully be guarded against, not just while you're chanting. It's 24/7. So there are things that our lifestyle is made up of that directly impact the quality of our chanting. So that's a statement that I made Sunday morning with our morning class, was that how you chant, the quality of your chanting determines the quality of your life. Now this is stating something the other way around. The quality of how you lead your life impacts how you, the quality of your chanting. Because the holy name, when the holy name becomes the center of your life, or, you know, like Kevalastakam, the names of Sri Hari are everything. So, when we're really serious about going more deeply towards Krishna, we have to consider the offenses. But my point is that the horse that goes before the cart is the chanting of the holy name. Or it's the quality of our bhajana kriya that will determine the anartha nivritti. Not the other way around. Not that you focus on anartha nivritti, removing undesirable things from the heart, and that's going to take care of your Krishna consciousness. The other way around. To be effective in, to have the spiritual strength and the presence, the sustained presence of consciousness, to always be vigilant in the matter of these 10 offenses against the holy name, is to want to connect with the holy name. Otherwise, it's mind. Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes, sometimes not. The binary processor of the mind, it stays vacillating, unfixed. So the change of heart is when we want to connect with Krishna. We want to connect with Krishna. Then it's not, then the mind becomes fixed. It's Krishna. Like our Say Yes to Krishna button that we had at our few Gita Nagari retreats ago. Say yes to Krishna. And that takes care of everything. It's no to not Krishna. It's yes to Krishna. So if there's some anartha, it's no. Out, 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 out. Just like that. Out. Tries to sneak back in. Out. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful, in the beginning of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on end. So then the next paragraph goes into nectar devotion class on, actually the next two paragraphs, on what are the stages of bhava. Prabhupada dismisses those who imitate the stages of bhava without having the proper qualification. They imitate the tears in the eyes and the trembling and so forth, but without having the real qualification. For Kishordas Babaji. Jagannathas. For Kishordas Babaji or Jagannathas Babaji. Someone was brought before him. Jagannathas Babaji. No, Gokishor. Someone's brought before him who was supposed to be this very elevated, revered, respected, saintly gentleman who was always had an attendant with him and was trembling in ecstasy because of his spiritual attainment. And Gokishor just dismissed him like bag of rubbish. And, you know, the person that brought him to Gokishor was, you know, he'd never received any kind of reception like that before and left very unhappy. And so the followers of Gokishor said, you know, why did you address him that way? Because everybody knows he's so elevated. And Gokishor said that anyone who carries himself in the way this man carries himself with an attendant and having his attendant advertise him in this way, this absence of humility is a clear sign that the person is not on that platform. It's just a show for whatever the purpose, for bringing attention to himself. And a true devotee on that platform does not want to bring attention to themselves. And Prabhupada here quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in the association of Ramananda Roy. They saw one another because they're actually eternally associated with one another. It was ecstasy at first embrace. But Lord Chaitanya, because Ramananda Roy was with the company of all of his soldiers and ministers and, you know, entourage, Lord Chaitanya checked himself. He restrained that emotion because it was, you know, worldly people would not understand it, and it would just bring, you know, the wrong kind. It'd bring the wrong kind of response from people that don't have the quality. So he checked. Because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who were attendants to the Roy, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. Anyway, he's dealing with, we should not just try to imitate the symptoms. The symptoms of bhava will come from the vaidhi sadhana bhakti properly performed. that's a whole other subject of some persons who step outside of the line of Rupa Goswami and take up some other practices where specifically you practice symptoms of ecstasy. When we visit Jagannath Puri, one of the places that we want to go to is the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And in the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur, there's a presiding personality who was there during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Bhaktisiddhanta challenged like anything. When you go into the bhajan that they're having in the Jagannath Puri temple, it's not the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's another mantra. I won't repeat it because Bhaktisiddhanta said this is rasa bhasa, it's an impure mixture of mellows, but also Bhaktisiddhanta dismissed this personality who was very, very popular, and a big picture of the guy in his samadhi over there inside by Haridas Thakur Samadhi, had his principal disciple dress as Lalita Sakhi and was training him how to be, you know, the maid servant of Lalita Sakhi, wearing a sari around town. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, this is not Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswami's teaching, this Sakhi Bakhi program. Our program is this one. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, one follows Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to the point where one becomes free from these obstacles and anarthas and becomes fixed in faith, and then fixed in faith in the nishtha stage, one progresses. Ruchi asakti bhava. The combination, here's a very important part of what Bhaktisiddhanta is teaching us, explanation of what Lord Chaitanya is teaching us, the feature of Vaishnava compassion, or preaching, giving the holy name, for one who has a taste for the holy name, to give the holy name, the vidhis of otherwise this imitation thing itself is innocent. Therefore, real steady
kava
is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires. Symptoms of bhava. Sanskrit connected. Cessation of material desires. Shanti. That's
shanti. That's
discussed in discussion of this chapter one, chapter three of the second canto. Utilization of every moment and sense of loving service of the Lord. It's the sense of urgency. That every moment should be
service.
Of yarta kalatvam. One's very concerned
not to waste even a moment.
Service. One letter I wrote to Ed Pujari
at Pujari
72. Prabhupada wrote to the head. It's very nice that you're
very nice to be
because you were
This is very nice.
Oh, what is being very gentle.
Encouraging that.
In that way. Namagane Sadaruchi, an attraction for living in the land of the Lord. Preeti. And complete detachment from mature penis, hierarchy, and tribelessness. Vana, Shunyata. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities really possessed of the Bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone heart imitator or mundane devotee. And the final paragraph is summary. Again, this is like the transformation heart summary from all of what has been said in the first three chapters. Very nice. Very important purport, paragraph. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of Guru. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of material desires, etc., as mentioned above. The Bhava stage is a subset of that. So, offenseless chanting, and this, he's saying, friendliness to all living entities. Or, Bhaktisiddhanta's teaching specifically is, being compassionate, the Vaishnava kind of compassion, where the concern goes to the soul, not looking at the covering of the soul, the concern goes to the soul, and being very thoughtful, very present in the consideration of how this soul, that soul, all so many souls, whatever Krishna brings one in contact with, to receive some benefit of attraction for Krishna. Not for any other purpose, not for any other purpose. Something or something or something. To be recognized. Something, something. Just genuine Vaishnava compassion. Internally, offenselessly chanting the whole. So there's a mental cultivation. You look closely at the 10 offenses, the chanting of the holy name. You will find a consistent thread in each one of those 10 offenses, and that is carrying a mundane concept of something that's not mundane. Carrying a mundane conception about a devotee of the Lord, carrying a mundane conception about the scriptures, carrying a mundane conception about the spiritual master, carrying a mundane conception about the glories, carrying a mundane conception about the purpose of chanting is to allow me to become free from reactions like the karmakanda ritual. Mundane conception, mundane conception. So we have to, Haridas Thakur says, in order to chanting the holy name, one must have proper sambandh again. You have to have a spiritual conception of what's what in our lives and, you know, other people, a spiritual conception of other people, spiritual conception of the process, a spiritual conception of the object, of the name, a spiritual conception of the teachings that help us lead our lives. We have to spiritualize our conception. And unfortunately, we have these material minds that drag baggage with us all the time. It's tiring, so much baggage. Dragging it around all the time. It's not even a matter you go from here over there. You take the baggage with you because the mind goes with you. So it's not a matter of just changing the circumstances. The mind has to change. The heart has to change. So, spiritualizing our conceptions of the things that surround our life, emotion, and this other, meaning something we spoke about before, but attentiveness. Bhakti Thakur, as well as Haridas Thakur, teach that the root behind the 10 offenses is inattention. Or, say it the other way around, the best way to save ourselves from the 10 offenses is striving to be very attentive. And you're going to find some obstacles to be overcome inattentive, to be fully attentive. Like spiritual, material conceptions of spiritual things. But then put the horse before the cart. Strive to establish relationship with Krishna, or establish relationship with Krishna in the form of His holy name. Establish an attachment for the holy name. And one of the purposes of inviting Bada to join us for this exercise of going more deeply into the holy name, because he is one who has such a taste. Now, as I was mentioning to a few other devotees, I can do it because he's not here. When you spend a little time with him, he's soft like butter. And his qualities, they're so natural. His humility, his simplicity, his pridelessness. Simply attracts. It's just simply wanting to serve others, not wanting something for himself. His qualities flow out of his attachment for the holy name. So, that's why he's invited, and I certainly plan to invite him again. I think he's enjoying the experience here, because the devotees, the reciprocation is, that's what devotees want also. We want to become attached to Krishna, but we want loving exchanges with other devotees. It's natural. Not wrong, it's natural, it's good. But where there's genuine appreciation about the activity and focusing upon the whole thing, it brings natural happiness. It brings natural happiness to the heart because Krishna is pleased. When Krishna is pleased, the devotees of Krishna become happy. So it's a guaranteed win situation. Just chant the holy name and focus on the holy name, go more deeply into the holy name and consider from all different angles how to do so, and then do so. I'll just conclude with this thought. The whole of today, the focus that I'm going to be carrying is tomorrow morning, 32 rounds, and to experience that extended chanting. It's numerical, but it will also, through numerical, it also, numerical strength helps with absorption. So hopefully from today we can assimilate things that will help us a lot tomorrow, and from that experience tomorrow into the day after tomorrow and the day after that. And so something that you can carry with you. Satchinandan Swami called the wheelbarrow. Although he's German, he learned that word. I guess they have similar things in Germany. You know, like you take something home, just fill up your wheelbarrow and take it home. So you can take home with you, take with you back to your daily routine, starting to back to work and whatever else you have to do. But take this deep dive, plunge into the holy name and carry that impetus with you. Experience, the tools, the inspiration, sangha, and stay with that, being more equipped for lifelong. Life, our life as devotees is this journey of going more deeply, deeply, deeply into the holy name of the Lord. There's one elder sannyasi, godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, who Prabhupada appreciated his association very much, and Puri Maharaj. And whenever he speaks on one thing. The holy name. Because everything is within the holy name. Our advancement in Krishna consciousness comes from the qualitative way in which we chant the holy name. So this is a very important this to spend time like this. And I trust that we'll do it again. Any comments or questions? Nandan?
You mentioned about keep praying hard and some message to follow the way you can hope is because of the offenders.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is it possible to keep this message chanting with offenders?
Is it possible to do which? What do you think? Well, it seems, I mean, the answer to your question is obvious, so I'm wondering why you're asking the question.
Because I was thinking about the qualities you have
offensive. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevya, the verse from Canto 1, Chapter 2. Nashta praya, almost completely gone. So there has to be an attentiveness to avoiding offenses to come to the nashta praya, or which is the nishta stage, nashta. Nishta is not, there's still something, the idea of nishta is, there may still be some, there are still some impurities, but the fire of the wicked is so strong that when those impurities manifest very quickly, they're just like this thing with anger. Very quickly, And it doesn't, you know, regularly show itself. Just, so it's something that's inappropriate for a fixed devotee. So it's like the Apichet Sudaraj or the Imam and the Bhaksadu papers. So maybe something that's inappropriate for a devotee, but very quickly fixes that situation. Because of the devotees being fixed in ananya bhakti, undivided devotion. So, the undivided devotion means, yes, just being very careful in the matter of offenses. And so there's a stage called Nishta, where Nishta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloki. Bhaktir Bhavati Naisiki. Nishta. And then further. Yes, one has to carefully guard against sin to come to the Nishta stage. Namaparad, but Namabhan.
So what is the nature of the...
The nature of emotions in the Namabhan stage are Bhavabhas. Rupa Goswami teaches. It's a reflection of the real thing. Even the reflection of the real thing is really nice. But one should know it's just a reflection of the real thing.
How should we receive
emotions? Our attention should go not to the emotion, but to the Krishna. That's how you nurture. Like Daruka, the example that's in the Nectar Devotion, there's Daruka, the chariot driver of Krishna, there's Daruka, the cowherd boyfriend of Krishna. The Daruka, the cowherd boyfriend of Krishna, is fanning Krishna, and he's experiencing ecstasy, so it's making it difficult for him to continue fanning Krishna. He wants to check the ecstasy because it's interfering with giving Krishna pleasure by fanning. He's not interested in the emotion, he's interested in fanning Krishna by fanning. The heavy lifting is in the Anartha Nirvritti stage.
Yeah.
Do we see some glimpses of different stages, or like one second? No, it's not that these stages are cubicles or buckets, rigid. You passed out of this one and now you're over in that one. You don't see it. It's not like that. You don't even see anything over there anymore because you're over here. Not like that. It's more like a rainbow, and you can, there's color variations in the rainbow, but it's not in between stages in those colors like that. So for sake of analysis, there's none. But, it's a whole range of transformation. It's like saying in the growth of a seedling, looks like there's a little tulsi pot. There's only two leaves and two leaves. But, in the mature stage, there are many branches and many leaves and many four seeds. Now, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, the difference between a plant and a creeper, whatever is in the prior stage is included in the next stage. Plus, there's gradations in between. If the answer, if what you're looking for is, does it matter the qualitative way in which we hear spiritual sound vibrations? Yes. But that, you know, that's another question that was being asked about, you know, what if someone is hearing but it doesn't seem to show something, which is related to here, that it's because there's offenses. So if one's eager, if one is not with respect, if one is in material conception, offenses while hearing, the effect will be less. But yeah. You can say the exception is when one is deliberately offensive, but even like Shishupal, deliberately offensive, still he was cleansed. That's the power of the holy name. Yes? One should do which? Okay, yes. It's both, not one or the other. So, it's like, do you drive a car yet?
No.
You ride a bicycle, yes? Okay. When you learn to ride a bicycle, when you learn to type on a typewriter, you learn something. That's, you know, there's a period of time, a lot of practice. And after practice, you get on your bicycle and zoom, zoom, zoom. But, you know, initially it was a lot of practice. Maybe some skills. Maybe, you know, feeling really uncomfortable. But then, so, by these side of the beginning, we have to constantly be very mindful of things. In course of time, it becomes just part of the culture or way of life. Like, for example, say someone becomes vegetarian and, you know, they have to think about it, not that. But, you know, at some point, it's not, I have to think about it. It's just part of his life. Or being respectful. You know, one of the things that I've heard over and over and over again, of course I'm sure it's changing, but students that were initially trained in India and came to America had seen the level of disrespect in the classroom for the teacher. But, you know, now it's becoming the same. It's just, you know, the culture is lost, going. So the culture of respect, yes, you have to be mindful of being respectful. But in the course of time, it becomes part of your nature. You're disrespectful. And even if other people are disrespectful, it doesn't stop you from being respectful because it's just part of your, you've made it, you know, you've just made a decision. I'm going to be respectful. Even if others aren't, it doesn't matter what others aren't. I'm going to, so, Vidhi become transformed into, become part of life. Not that it drops, but the vigil, that, like this question over here about anartha nivritti, has to go into anartha nivritti. It's not that I'm so, but it's not that on the other side now we can be careless, negligent, complacent. But vigilance is just part of one's nature. It's not. When your arm, when your limbs are damaged, even like lift your arm. But, you know, after some time, it's just second nature. Power of mobility of your limbs is restored. There's still some effort that's being exhibited, but it's not... Yes, I was saying that. We should not waste a moment. What about more things with better consciousness? Better is better, not more is better. But more better is better. It's a mode of nature. You know, passion says more is better. Goodness says better is better. And transcendence is more to Krishna in pure devotion. So each of us, we have to, you know, be observant about the mode of nature that we're being conducted by. And, you know, especially the mode of ignorance, stuff, fruitive, and then moroseness, complacency, lethargy, lamentation, all that bottom of the barrel stuff, and quote to the quality of goodness. That's where Vidhi helps us come to the quality of goodness. But it's not just goodness. We want Krishna. So just be sure that whatever it is that you do, that you're striving for trying to become attached to Krishna, trying to please Krishna, trying to find happiness in Krishna's happiness. To get qualitative, it's not necessarily going to happen if you just do less. Something else? Okay. Thank you very much. You look so happy.
Go to the next one.